I couldn't believe that I had not had you on the show since. We talked a lot around that, and you guys were really busy once you got back. And I was thinking, surely we'd had you on. I was just going back through some text. It turns out we hadn't. I sent you one that night right after the final out.
Yes.
Congratulating
yes.
you. And
yes, you
about 12:26 on a then very early Thursday morning, I get this great text from you. Thanks. Never thought I'd get to experience something like this. I don't know. You know, as fans, you sit and hope your team will win. You can change teams if you want to, if you're a fan. If things are bad, you can change teams.
Yeah.
But you're in the spot that we're in. Yeah, I guess occasionally you can change jobs, but the job is the job, and so much of what we do is, and whether it's enjoyable at the highest level, is truly in the hands of somebody else, and that's what makes that opportunity, I guess, so special.
Well, I'll tell you, Chris, it was very, very interesting, because after we won the national championship and, you know, the celebration died down on the field at TD Ameritrade Park, and we're going back to the hotel, I got back to the hotel, and I was waiting for the team to come back, because, as you well know, in baseball, there are going to be a number of guys you're not going to see again for quite some time. I mean, a lot of guys are going to ship out to their next thing, you know, to whether the pros or Team USA or whatever it is, or Cape Cod League or whatever it might be. And so you want to be there to, you know, say something to those guys. And so it was good to be there with Tyler Beattie and all those guys that came off the bus. And then Tim Corbin came off the bus. And his parents were there, and they're wonderful. They're awesome people. I spent a lot of time with them. And then he saw me, and he came over to me and grabbed me and hugged me, and he said, "This is for you." And I was kind of taken aback by that. I said, "No." And he said, "No, you've seen a lot of bad baseball for a long time." We started laughing. And he said, "You have been here for a long time. This is for you as much as anybody else on this team." And I think in a great way, that tells you what Tim Corbin is all about. I mean, he knows what his people are, who helps him, who the team is, and so it was a very special time.
Joe Fisher, the voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores, joining us here on Tide 99.1. He appears courtesy of the Bud Light Hotline, presented by Green Beverage. Derek Mason's trying to take that to another level for football now, and look, there you've seen a lot of bad football, too, but it hadn't been in the last 3 years, that's for sure. How's camp gone in terms of trying to make that a fourth straight bowl year for the Doors?
It's been very interesting, Chris, because I think Derek came in and understood, and anybody who took this job after James leaves knows what they're walking into. You know, here's a guy that had unprecedented success, you know, two back-to-back nine-win seasons, three bowl games in a row, all those things. And Derek walked into this with his eyes wide open. And his mindset was, James has set the table for us to take this to another level. And I think that's his approach. And so we'll see how this plays out. But he's been terrific to work with. He is, I think, very experienced in what we deal with. And you don't want to get into it. I mean, I get kind of tired of people talking about the academic issues, but you know what? Vanderbilt is not a lot of the other teams in the SEC. Stanford is not a lot of the other teams in the Pac-12. There are different things that you have to deal with academically, and he is very comfortable with that. So I think that's been a big plus, and so we'll see. But I think he's done a wonderful job at this point.
You know, in Stanford, too, I can't speak for the whole league, but I can tell you from Alabama's perspective, the fans, Joe, when they talk about the Pac-12, we tend to look down our nose at them a little bit, or have the last few years. But Stanford's not one of those teams because of the way they've played the game. They look like you could take them and move them to our league, and they might get it. They'd fit. Does that help Derek Mason at all as he takes on this job?
I think that's a big part of it, Chris, and I think you're absolutely right. I think a lot of people looked at Stanford for years and thought they were a finesse, whatever, you know, kind of team. And under Derek and the Harbaughs and all that, they became a slammer. I mean, they became a, you know what, we're going to be physical. You're going to have to deal with us. And I think that's the mindset that Derek is bringing to Vanderbilt. And I think people very much appreciate that. So I think you're right in that regard. But we'll see how this plays out. I think one of the good things, and Derek and I have talked about this quite a bit, James Franklin did some wonderful things here. He won, you know, he won games. He went to bowl games. But he also built a recruiting base. And so when Derek Mason came in, the cupboard was not bare. You know, there are players here. Now, all these players have to buy into this new system, the 3-4 defense, all those kind of things. But I think they feel very confident that they have players that they can compete.
Tell us about Patton Robinette. He's the new starter, and we're going to be hearing a lot more about him.
You know, I think one of those things, Patton, is, as you know, Chris, last year he won some big games. You know, he rallied us from behind against Georgia. We beat Tennessee on the road, beat Florida. And so he's got a lot of experience in that regard. And he's one of those guys, and I don't want to start throwing names out of other quarterbacks we've seen in the conference, but he's just a winner. He just wins. I mean, he's won throughout his entire high school career. He's won in his collegiate career, and he's a guy that I think they're very comfortable in now that will not make mistakes. I mean, he will make this team better. He will not, you know, throw the interception in the red zone. He'll do all the right things, and I think that's the big part of it. I mean, it's very clear to see Johnny McCreary, you know, out of the state of Georgia, is by far the best athlete, by far the strongest arm. But he has not been able to be consistent in terms of running the offense. And I think they are just dialed into saying, this is a guy that will not make a big mistake and will manage this offense, and we'll be able to live with that. And so that's where we are right now.
Look, it's one ball game. I get it. But how big is the opener at home for Derek Mason in terms of trying to establish his program?
Chris, it's huge. You know, I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, it's one of those things where if you're a new coach and you're trying to establish your identity and have people buy into what you're doing, you got to win it. You know, I think that, I mean, that's what they need to see. They need to see progress and success right off the bat. So it's funny because I did an interview earlier this week and people were asking, are they going to be looking over this game to Ole Miss? And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Now, there's no way that they're looking past this game. You cannot afford to look past this game for that very reason. I mean, you have to have success in game one to sort of solidify the buy-in for what this staff and what this team wants to do. So, no, there's no question. They're not looking ahead. It's all about game one.
Where is the biggest area, I mean, now that you got quarterback decided at least for week one, and he's got to go show it again, even though he's got some experience there. But where's the area that you look at it and go, could be a little dicey right there?
Well, I think probably receiver. You know, when you lose the all-time leading, you know, receiver in Southeastern Conference history, you know, in terms of yards and receptions, that's pretty darn hard to replace. And so I think that's probably where the first focus would be. Now, I think they have some guys that can step up and you know, kind of take that to a level where they'll be okay. But they're going to have to because that I think is the biggest issue. I think we have great strength at tight end. Our offensive line, we've returned four starters. We've got the three or four strong running backs coming back. So I think otherwise they feel very good. But I would say wide receiver. You know, if there's a guy, and I'll throw a name out there right now. Jordan Cunningham, rather, is a guy that I think you want to pay attention to. You know, he's a guy that could be a real go-to guy in this setting. And if he is, they have a chance to be very good.
Last thing before I let you run, the national championship, end of June. What has that done for athletics as a whole since that time there at Vanderbilt?
It's funny, Chris, and I know you've been through this. It raises the bar for everybody, number one. I mean, it's magnificent to walk through the building and know you have a national championship team in your midst. But I think it raises the bar for other teams to say, you know, we better get our act together. We need to compete. We need to be in the NCAA tournament on a regular basis and all of those things. And you see the signs and the banners that are hanging around our place about a national championship. And I know Alabama people, you know, Chris, you've won so many. It's maybe not that big a deal, but at Vanderbilt, this is a huge deal. You know, to finally won a men's national championship in college baseball is tremendous. And so I think it's raised the bar for every other team here to say, you can't just go along to get along, you better win. And so I think over the next couple of years, I think you'll see that. I think you'll see the impact of that, that these folks understand if you don't compete and aren't in the tournament, then you might not be here. I think that's where they are.